Ayat Nanga Adla Kauban. This is Cheryl Sampson Ramirez, and I am excited to invite you all back to the Philippine X and Wellness podcast as we take a moment to talk with Lisa Gonzalez, Reiki practitioner and sound bath facilitator. The host for this one is our very own Sheena Katz. In this episode, we will be talking with Lisa about her wellness journey towards becoming a Reiki practitioner and a sound bath facilitator. She has also generously offered us a mini sound bath for you all to take a moment to drop in and find some rest, nourishment, and healing amidst these challenging times. I invite you all to join us as you find your healing frequency with Lisa Gonzalez. Hello, everybody. Magandang araw. Welcome to episode 11 of season 4 for the Philippine X and Wellness podcast. I'm your host, Sheena Katz. My pronouns are she and her. For this episode's audio description, currently I am wearing a black long sleeve shirt. I have some gold earrings on, and my hair is down, and I'm seated in front of a bluish gold impressionist painting behind me. Following our last episode, Critical Embodied Wellness for Educators with Dr. Stephanie Carriaga, instead of talking about East Asian medicine and menopause with acupuncturist and herbalist of Rigpa Wellness, Rose Palma, we will instead be pivoting today and be talking to Reiki practitioner and sound bath facilitator Lisa Gonzalez. As mentioned in previous episodes, all views discussed are for informational and educational purposes only. It is not meant to be medical advice, nor does it constitute therapy or professional advice. Always consult with your healthcare practitioner, especially before starting any exercise or new health program or a qualified mental health professional for your particular condition. So without further ado, we'd like to welcome to our podcast, Lisa Gonzalez. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here.
We're so thrilled to have you on. And having you on our podcast is very timely, actually, because we have fully entered the year of the wood snake for 2025. Yes. We welcome in good luck, fortune, and also good health. So happy new year to our Sinoys and Sinayas out there. And everyone is in for a treat today because this episode will also feature a mini sound bath. So stay locked in, everybody. Yeah. So Lisa, we typically like to open our episodes by getting to know our guests and where their lineage is from. So to your knowledge, where are both sides of your family from and where are you currently streaming from today?
So I am full-blooded Ilocano. So my dad is from Narvacan in Ilocos Sur. My mom is... Her family was in Urdaneta, but as I do my genealogy and find out a little bit more about my ancestry, I have also found out that my lineage on my mom's side is also from Ilocos Sur, which has really been an interesting journey. So they both speak Ilocano, and that's what I grew up listening to my entire life. And today I am streaming from Los Angeles, from North Hollywood, to be specific, on Tongva land.
Very cool. I don't know about you. So my dad is Ilocano and I've tried learning Ilocano. I'm fluent in Tagalog, which is easy for me, but Ilocano is a completely different, vibe.
It is a different vibe. It has a different flavor to it. It's almost, I don't know, it, like, to me, Tagalog is very lyrical, and Ilocano is much more passionate. Mm-hmm. So it becomes really interesting when I'm in a room full of aunties and uncles, and I'm like, are they yelling, or are they just being passionate. So I have
both.
But I have to listen to the context of the conversation to know, okay, I'm not in trouble.
It's one of my goals is to learn it because it hasn't been easy for me to learn it. So it's been a goal.
Just got to find a bunch of Ilocano people and just listen to them all day. You could come to one of my family parties. That's all they speak.
Great. I'm in. So let's actually dig into your origin story a little bit. So what were some of the life experiences that inspired you to enter the world of wellness? You know, first as a Reiki practitioner and then as a sound bath facilitator.
Wow. You know, I always try to remember what my own origin story is. And my experience has been, it's been an ongoing journey. I think even from a very young age, questioning what my purpose in life is at 7 years old, trying to figure out where do I fit in and, you know, encountering some things that a seven-year-old might not know how to enunciate. So as I got older and I started to embody my more adult self, it still was very confusing, and just I had a rebellious streak, which led me down a very different pathway than what my parents had seen for me. And being first generation American, it just drives you into this corner of, I want to respect my genealogy and my heritage, but at the same time, I want to embody who I am as an adult growing up in America. So it was just two different worlds as being the eldest daughter. All of the responsibilities of eldest first gen, it made it really difficult to embody who I was supposed to be as a Filipino American. We moved to Los Angeles in 1977 from New Jersey, where we did not have a very large Filipino community. And the time that I grew up was a time of birthright. So I was born in 1965. It was right after they started to import all these nursing people, including my dad and my mom, who got their nursing degrees here in the U.S. and lifelong nurses. And, you know, it was a very strange time to grow up because it was, I'm half this and half that, but now I'm Filipino. So when I came to LA, it was complete culture shock. Had no idea what all of the Filipino foods were. Had no idea that there were this many Filipinos in a concentrated area. I grew up in Carson, yay, Sea House. And it was just, it took me a while to adjust. But honestly, I think I started my journey in my early 30s. Been really disappointed with life, with my life choices, with things that were going on, and you know, the whole thing about going to church or going to therapy were just not enough for me. It would pacify me for a minute,
sure,
and then ended up diving into this wellness practice and failing a lot.
Yeah.
But really, it came to a head right around the time that my mom got seriously ill. And I was really at my wit's end about, am I a good enough daughter? Am I a bad daughter? Because I'm trying to prioritize things and I have to prioritize my mom's health along with all of my other life, you know, responsibilities. And when she passed, I was there. I was there as the person making the decision whether she goes or she stays. And it was a difficult, almost heart-wrenching place to be in as a child of a very strong woman, and wondering if I failed. The guilt was just unimaginable, and I didn't allow myself to grieve. I took on even more responsibilities as the eldest daughter. And my mom being the eldest daughter and the only daughter with four younger brothers, I remember very distinctly, they turned to me and it's like, oh, you're in charge now. And I'm like, oh.
And how old were you at the time?
Oh, man. This wasn't that far, a long time ago. I was in my 50s, but
wow,
yeah, to get that burden, not even a burden, but to get that responsibility laid upon you and not have it all kind of like flushed out and doing things last minute and, you know, that's not how I operate as a human being. So it just threw me out of my comfort zone. And once I finally had time to grieve, which was about 8 months later, I fell into an unimaginable depression. So dark, so deep, that things that were going through my head, I think would surprise most people. It was that dark. And I ended up having to seek medical attention because of it, and lost all hope in everything. And I had to dig deep into some of the journey that I had started earlier in my lifetime and rediscover who I am and what my purpose was in this life. And as I started to uncover things, I started really digging into my ancestors and connecting with them and really starting to understand Filipino practices and where they fit into my life today. So fast forward to a couple years ago, I really just fell into Reiki practicing or being a Reiki practitioner almost naturally. Because I felt like healing was always part of my journey. And I learned Reiki literally right before the pandemic. I got my certification on March 3rd, 2020. So the timing was impeccable. At the time, I wasn't ready to full on dive into it. So it was a beautiful way of transitioning into Reiki through the pandemic, because then I could do remote Reiki sessions and I could work with my friends and my family and really tune into those skills and really learn to tune into my own intuition. Sound healing came actually as a result of part of my recovery from my grief. And my depression. My therapist at the time said, maybe you need to try some other wellness activities such as meditation, which I've tried before. I am not a good meditator by any means, but I found that sound baths were really super healing and allowed me and my mind and my body to really expand and really just find peace within myself. And so it was very comforting and very soothing at the same time. So I merged the two together in my practice in the last couple of years, especially in serving community. And that's really where I'm at right now.
That's incredible. And where did you study for both?
So I studied Reiki through Den Meditation, which used to be around. There was a spot on La Brea and then a spot in Studio City. And The practitioner that I worked with, Jamie Wozni, she is just an amazing soul, very intuitive, and she taught Reiki in a different way than most Reiki practitioners do or Reiki masters do, where she really had you tune into the person that you're working with and not necessarily focus on the hand motions, which is more true to a true Reiki practice, but really rely on your intuition and really hone in on that skill to understand where someone needs energy or revitalization. Because sometimes what they say isn't really what they need, if that makes right. any sense. And so I will hone in intuitively and also hone in on my ancestors and my guides, my spirit guides, and also call in theirs. It's been interesting working with folks, even remotely, where their ancestors start popping in and I'm like, hi. And they give me messages for the folks that I work with.
So let's hone in on the title of our episode, Find Your Healing Frequency. You actually named the episode, so thank you. So what does finding your healing frequency mean to you? And how would you say you could apply to the significance of this to our community?
Yeah. As I've learned with sound and diving into this science of it, even with my speaking voice, there's a frequency and a resonance that, you know, people will either hone into or not. If you think about it, when you talk to someone, their enunciation, their pace, that all drives frequency and vibration. And if you ever notice how you feel with someone who's got a very soothing, very, you know, almost caressing kind of voice, you find that your body is in tune with it versus somebody who's got a pitch or a tone that almost equates to nails on a chalkboard. So if you think of frequency and vibration like that, most people tend to not pay attention to that because you're living in your own frequency and your own vibration. But part of my practice as a sound healer is to introduce you to this idea of frequency and vibration and then bring you back in to find your own. And it's not about listening to yourself speak per se, but really learning to listen to that internal voice and all of the things that are going on within your body. Because your heart has a certain frequency and vibration. Your throat, you could kind of hear the vibration in my throat right now because it's a little sore from talking. But same thing with your sinuses. You know, if they're congested, what kind of vibration, what kind of frequency are you getting? And if you tune into those and you find what keeps you going, the frequency that keeps you going, the vibration that keeps on going, keeps you going, and learning how to connect to it, that's where you start to open up your own healing. And really, where I feel like I add benefit to the community is that I'm not looking to make what I do sustainable for me. This isn't anything about me. This is more about me assisting those in the community who are looking for wellness practices where they can better themselves or are looking to tune more into themselves, to understand themselves better. That's really where my practice leads people, is to really find that inner healer within them, because they could come to me and they could come and listen to a sound bath, But really, it's them doing the work with that vibration is what leads to the healing, not me. So I just want to empower people with this knowledge so that they can grow and expand and maybe, you know, show it to somebody else. And the more that we grasp onto this idea of being our own healer and being able to communicate and show other people that they can do it, there is a chance of, you know, creating a stronger, more cohesive community. So
that's incredible. And speaking of your practice, you've actually been facilitating monthly sound baths at Search to Involve Filipino Americans, SIPA, through your series, Diwa Soundscapes. Can you tell us more about the series? You know, what are some of the things that attendees can look forward to?
Yeah, so I do this offering once a month. I've been doing it since June, but have been working with SIPA actually since the pandemic, doing remote sound baths and doing sound baths for events, which has been just absolutely fulfilling. And when they opened up the Hi-Fi Wellness Center down the street from their main office, of course, they asked me if I wanted to find a spot there to do sound baths. And I'm like, of course. The caveat was I did not want to charge anyone for this service just because, you know, to find just people of color in general in these wellness spaces is hard enough as it is. But then when you look at the cost incurred or the cost for some of these services, it's out of some people's price ranges. I want to say it's probably out of most people's price range. And wellness should not be expensive, which is why, again, I think that the benefit is with the program that I've built is that it teaches you to be your own healer. It teaches you the tools and the tricks that you can do to help facilitate this within yourself. And so once a month, Saturdays at 10:30, it's an hour and a half. We do a brief meditation and then I take folks through a sound bath. And then I give them time to connect and resonate with their own vibration towards the end. And then bring them back into the space physically, mentally, spiritually, and, you know, give people some place to decompress for a moment. That's really what this opportunity is. And so being able to give this to the community for free is just, it's been such a joy to see the reception. As more people come to these events, they're telling more friends, and people who have never been to a sound bath are starting to come just because it's just a nice way to just release without being in a place where you have to act a certain way or be a certain way. There's none of that. You come as you are, however you feel in your most authentic self, and that's how you are.
And so for the folks who are attending, I'm so curious, what's the age demographics like that you've noticed?
Oh, wow. So it's really interesting because most of the folks, as one would suspect, they're, you know, a younger group of folks in their 20s, 30s, you know, college students, grad students, young moms, newly married, you know, that kind of demographic. But what I've been finding recently, which it makes me feel so good to know that this is happening, is that those folks are now bringing their elders. So they're bringing aunties, they're bringing their moms, so it's showing that there is no boundary to what this, who can benefit from this. Because if you look on social media, it's like all the, you know, it's more geared towards, you know, yogis and people who are into meditation, but this is ageless. To learn to be your own healer at any age, I think would be amazing. I mean, I really didn't come embodied into this practice until my late 40s and 50s. So who's to say that, you know, your mom, your grandmother wouldn't enjoy at least having a beautiful concert to relax at? I know I've done sound baths even for my own family, for my aunties, for my dad, who's in his 80s. Didn't quite get it, but he felt that it was very relaxing. And that's really the whole point. So I just find a lot of joy seeing different age ranges now attending. And also just being so appreciative of people who bring in other folks because they're thinking of them, that this would be a really great activity for you in the time in your life where you might need it. So I got people dropping in on a regular basis, and then I have people who come in and out as they need to, but that's the way practice should be, is you heal yourself in your own time.
And what a cool thing to like bring your Lola once a month for an activity like this, you know?
Yeah. I think the last sound bath, someone did bring their mom, and she was just so appreciative and so kind and just very generous with her feelings, how she felt afterwards. And not that I was surprised, but I'm always surprised when I hear it from an elder who has not been exposed to wellness practices. You know, for them, wellness practice equated to possibly going to church or hanging out with family. The expression of wellness for elders, our elders, was not as generous as what we see today.
And she was open to it. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Again, I encourage people, if they have a family member, there's nothing. I think what I mean to say is that most people, when they think of Reiki or they think of some of these wellness practices, even mental health practitioners in terms of going to a psychiatrist or going to a psychologist, going to therapy, group therapy, et cetera, it was always just not talked about and almost taboo in terms of conversation, because Filipino people in general always had this pride of being resilient. And it was always looked upon with shame that you had to ask for help. And I think that generational thinking is now being superseded by this, I want to heal my lineage. I want to heal my ancestors. I want to heal my elders. And the only way I could do that is to heal myself. And when you think of it that way, you're not only healing all of them, you're also healing your descendants, and you're changing the narrative for them. And so that's what I see. Because my son is in his 30s, and I have 3 grandchildren. And to be able to look at them and know that they're not going to have the same stress and the same responses that I grew up with, and that they're able to have these discussions and able to experience how to practice wellness and how to be their own healer and to be in touch with themselves is so valuable to me. I try and take advantage of trying to really embody that for them.
Incredible. So we understand that you've prepared a sound bath for our community in this episode. Before we start, is there anything that you'd like to share with our community? Any context on how to prepare, what to expect in a sound bath?
Absolutely. Unlike the title, sound bath, we are not necessarily bathing all together in a pool or in a big tub. It really is just being bathed within the sounds and just almost allowing yourself to float in it like you're floating in a pool, which is why there's that assimilation. But really, I think it's just more coming prepared in terms of creating a space where you're going to be comfortable. For some people, they don't realize how much they really sink in, and how still they get within the time period of a sound bath, that if they don't have enough pillows or enough blankets, because you do get very cold as you really start to embody some of the sound, they don't realize that that can disturb you when you're sinking into this. So I always tell people, there's no shame in bringing a full-on cot if that's what you want to bring that's going to make you comfortable. Comfort is really key, unlike meditation where you're sitting up and you have to have this upright posture. This is more about you taking care of you in a way that your body is going to be comfortable. The other thing is just to come with an open mind. It's easy to get caught up in the pretense of a sound bath is going to do this, 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 and this. And you have to come in and set the expectation that I'm just going to go wherever it's going to take me. It can leave you very vulnerable if you're not used to that. But the more that you come and the more that you practice going to sound baths, you will find sound healers that make you feel extremely safe. So then being vulnerable is not a problem. And again, I think this is why I see a lot of repeat folks, because they do feel comfortable enough to come into a space with other people and lay completely still for an hour. It goes really quickly. And I always tell people, you know, bring a journal, bring a notebook, bring art supplies, whatever it is that you feel that you could express yourself. Because sometimes people will come out of a sound bath and something very profound comes to them while they're in their sound bath. I don't want you to let go of that quite yet. I want you to remember it. And it may not make any sense. It may not make any sense ever. And then all of a sudden, it makes sense because it was something that you were supposed to know. And it's up to you to remember it. That and hydration, lots of it.
Good to know. And one last thing before we get started, I know that in some sound baths that I've been to before, they've used certain instruments. Can you tell us a little bit more about some of those instruments, you know, and what you intend to use and some context there?
So there's the standard kind of set of instrumentation that most sound bath healers have. Usually there's a gong, and gongs just kind of move energy through because the vibration from the gong really resonates through the body. Depending on how big the gong is or how loud the gong is, there's also drums. There's other instruments such as rattles and rain sticks, all to kind of mimic sounds of the environment, also chimes, but really kind of the big one for most people are the bowls. And there's two types of bowls. There's the Tibetan brass bowls, which are very lovely if you've listened to Tibetan chants or have gone to other meditations. A lot of times those folks will have like a single bowl and it has kind of a tingy kind of sound to it. And then there's the crystal bowls, which come in different flavors and different sizes. But really, the big thing with the crystal bowls, it's almost akin to wetting your finger and running it around a crystal glass, and it makes that sound. It's just on a bigger scale. But the reason why these bowls are really important is that they contain crystals, like actual crystals. It's not just regular glass. It is fused with crystals. And so the resonance of these particular bowls are tuned. So it's not only the vibration, but also the frequency is tuned. So playing one bowl is great, but playing them in concert to one another really brings you through this journey. The way that I do my sound baths, I try to make it more akin to what resonates with me as a Filipina. And I really try to focus more on instruments and creating the soundscape that is more familiar for us versus trying to fit into someone else's program, which is why you'll find that if you come to one of my sound baths, it feels different because it is different. Again, I look at leading my sound baths and presenting my sound baths in more of a nature of you healing you than to make it woo-woo, if I can just say that. I get the woo-woo part of it and aligning chakras, and that's kind of where I started, but I really started to tune into more of me as a whole, you as a whole. That it's not just about these chakras, but it's about this presence that you have that isn't only led by this, by the chakras. There's this larger presence around us.
That makes sense and super helpful. Well, whenever you're ready, Lisa, please feel free to take us through your sound bath.
take these few moments to connect with the vibrations that you felt, that you may still be feeling at this moment. But more importantly, connect back into that breath, taking the breath that's most comfortable for you, most intuitive. The silence is always just as important as the actual sound itself. Silence is where your power lives. It is a strength that no one can take from you. And that silence, your heartbeat, your resonance, and your vibration is where everything happens for you. It is the one thing that is in pure nature to yourself. And just remember that when things become overwhelming or seem impossible, always come back to the power within, the silence within. Connect with the heartbeat. And that concludes our sound bath. It's a mini sound bath.
That was incredible. Thank you so much, Lisa. For our community, for whoever hasn't done a sound bath before, the best way that I like to explain it is it feels like you're being held the whole time. It feels like you're being held while you're meditating.
Yes. It's being wrapped up in that just beautiful, cozy blanket. And you know that within this bubble you create for yourself, that you are absolutely safe. And just as I mentioned, you know, this space that you create in terms of tuning in with your frequency and your vibration, this is all you. This is a space that even I, as a practitioner, cannot cross into. And you are ultimately the person who determines what this space feels and looks like. So this is why I always mention to people, your power is within you. You are never powerless. You just need to find where that power lives within you and hone in on it.
It's incredible. And I understand that you'll actually also be sharing a longer sound bath recording with our community for those who have a need for long-term nervous system rebalancing. I will be tuning into that as well. And we really want to thank you for the offering, because we know so many people could greatly benefit from this recording, especially given the challenging times that we're facing. So let us in a little bit more about what our community can look forward to receiving for the longer sound bath.
Definitely more variety in the sounds. The sounds will be very similar to what you have just experienced, but in a much longer fashion. I really do take you through a sound journey. And like with every journey in life, there's always highs and lows. And sometimes you have to go through the highs and the lows to really experience it as a total. Just like you do with life, you know, there's good things and bad things. And sometimes we don't realize it at the moment, but something that is bad that's happening or inconvenient, is really meant to teach us how to be better within ourselves. And so sometimes some of the instruments are a little kind of grating on the nerves, but maybe it's what your nervous system needs to punch out of wherever it's at and know, okay, time to move.
That's great. And because we are a health and wellness podcast, we also want to turn the tables around and ask our guests what their own wellness or self-care practices consist of. So, you know, how do you practice self-care when you're not facilitating sound baths or practicing Reiki?
I do a lot of Reiki on myself. And I also do participate in other sound baths receiving. So, you know, as the healer in our own kind of smaller sound bath community, it's like, okay, who's going to heal the healers? And so I practice what I preach, and I will go to other sound baths and just receive and release. I do try to ground every day. With every shower that I take it as an intention shower. Which is something I tell everyone who ever comes to my sound baths. It's a really great way to practice releasing and grounding. And the way that I practice is I just, towards the end of my shower, I take a moment, and it's a brief kind of like breathing exercise. But really the intention is everything that no longer belongs to me or serves me in my highest good, I ask the water to bless me and to release all of those energies, and I send it into the drain with love and gratitude for the lessons that it's taught me, and that the energies are no longer mine to be responsible for. And so it's just a really lovely way to just reconnect with my purpose every day, especially if you're taking a shower every day, regardless of what time it is. It's just, you know, you're there to refresh your body and to treat your body. Why not your mind, your spirit at the same time?
No, I love that, because it's so doable every day. A shower is doable every day. Yeah.
Which is why I practice it every day, is it's my one reminder that, okay, I'm in my human experience and this is what I'm going to go through, and I just need to be like water and flow.
I like that. Just be like water and flow. Mm-hmm. And so as we begin to close, how can our community reach you if they have any additional questions or would like to sign up for your DIWA Soundscape series at SIPA?
So I am on social media, on Instagram at Nipah Hut Wellness. I also have a link to my Calendly, which is how you can sign up for the SIPA sound baths. They are every month, and I think most of the months all the way through June are already posted. So if you can't make this month, which is on the 15th, so it's Valentine's weekend, you can bring a sweetheart. Just make sure you come early, because parking, it's in a neighborhood area, so parking can be a little challenging, but absolutely, I would love to see all of you. But sign up now. And if for some reason you can't sign up or the program is full, just send me an email at lisa@nipahhutwellness.org, and I will find a way to get you into the sound bath. If you're looking for a larger community sound bath, I will also be participating in a multi-healer sound bath at Chateau Chapel in K-Town on Commonwealth. At the First Congregational Church of Los Angeles. It's a larger sound bath. There is a cost incurred with that one, but if you message me, I will be able to see if I could get you either in as my guest or with a discount. We've been really trying to support our local communities in their wellness journeys. So, And that's a really beautiful space. There's usually at least three or four of us. So it's in stereo. The Reiki, I do offer Reiki remote as well as in person. Remote is actually just as powerful as being in person. My remote clients prefer being remote because they could do it on their time without having to travel anywhere and still reap the benefits of working with me. So you can sign up for a consultation on my Calendly site.
These are super helpful. Thank you for all the resources. We, I know, appreciate it. So any final words? Is there anything else that you'd want our community to know when it comes to finding their healing frequency?
Just remember that you are living in a human experience and that the experience is yours and yours alone. No one can determine what that experience will be other than you. So you are always, always in control as long as you tune in.
Thank you again, Lisa, for talking with us about Reiki and your sound bath facilitation today. You know, we look forward to witnessing your journey unfold as you continue to offer healing to our community. We will, of course, continue to help share your upcoming opportunities as we stay connected in partnership. And to our community, for our final episode of season 4, we will be discussing community wellness, immigration support, and protection with a Los Angeles-based family law and immigration lawyer, Cheryl Deptowicz-Diaz of Diaz Law Firm and Chicana Diocares, senior organizer at Filipino Worker Center, as we focus on the wellness of our undocumented immigrant community and allyship. Stay tuned as our Know Your Rights episode will air on Wellness Wednesday, March 12th.
As we close, we'd like to acknowledge once again our guest speaker, Lisa Gonzalez, our art director, Richie, our producer for this episode, Cheryl Sampson Ramirez, our advisors, Allison De La Cruz, Rianne De Los Reyes, Sapo Teologo, our social media strategist, Kathleen Torrio, our outreach manager and production assistant, Maya Custodio, our community partner, SoCal Filipinos, the Filipino American Life, Rising Filipinas, and Thera Pinay, and all of our community members for your shares and support. As always, we'll share more about our guest offerings on our IG stories and highlights for permanent access with any of their upcoming events. Be sure to follow us on Philippine X Wellness on IG, Threads, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Don't forget to continue to hit like and subscribe on our Philippine X and Wellness YouTube channel. Thank you so much for believing in us. Be well, everyone. Continue to take care of yourself and each other. Maraming salamat.
Salamat. We'll be right back.